Hi everyone, and welcome to our podcast series, The Road to Permanency. Today we will be featuring part 7 on self-advocacy and having a great discussion on self-advocacy platforms you can raise up and have your voice heard. As always, I'm your host, Gracie. William, do you mind introducing yourself?
Yes, my name is William Hume, and I am a self-advocate living within New York region in Christian Horizons.
Awesome. I also heard, William, that you are part of a group called Our Voice Matters, York. Do you mind telling our listeners about that who don't know what that is?
Yes, so Our Voice Matters, York is a self-advocacy group for people with disabilities who want to have their voices heard within their governments and communities. And there is also, as part of this, we're looking into other stuff like the ODSP Coalition for People with Disabilities.
That's so cool. How did you get inspired to get involved with this organization?
The head leader and founder of Our Voice Matters, York. And very
Wow.
recently, I started Our Voice Matters Peel Halton. So one group combined.
That's amazing. What inspired you to start this then?
What inspired me is there's not enough advocacy out there in the world, and it can die very quickly, especially like at this time of year. Where there's COVID, advocacy is dying, and now is the time to stand up.
Are there any specific advocacy platforms that you're raising right now?
We don't have an advocacy platform, but I know the agency Christian Horizons, I think it's Irene Moore, is trying to get a website up and running for Our Voice Matters as a whole. So we're hoping probably within the next year or so to have a website up and running. There's right now there's a few different ones. There's Our Voice Matters York, Toronto, Simcoe, and now Peel Halton.
And are there any specific issues you guys are tackling?
So not any specific right now, but I can tell you a few people we've had come on to speak to everyone.
Yeah.
Back in the very beginning, we had a member from the Green Party and a member from the Liberal come and talk about their party platform and how to vote. And then
Okay.
we've had 360 Kids come and talk. All the way from Clearwater Marine Aquarium in Florida, we've had a marine specialist come in, talk to us, and show us Winter the Dolphin. If you ever watched that movie, it's a very good movie. And
I'll have to check it out. I haven't
then,
watched it.
yeah, I think it's
No.
called Dolphin Tale.
Oh, okay. I watched Dolphin Tale. So
Yeah. Yeah,
I watched
the
Dolphin
winter.
Tale.
Yeah, the one with the I don't know how to call her leg, but
Okay.
the tail, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now I know
So
what you're talking about. Yeah, the prosthetic like fin. Yeah.
the trainer showed us winter and the aquarium and gave
So
us some
cool.
information on how to advocate for those who don't have a voices. And a lot of people forget that animals, they don't have a voice. We usually just think about people who have the voice instead of people who don't. And
Yeah.
we also have had 360 Kids come and speak.
Wow.
We've had I think we've had there's a lot of people we've had, but those are just to name a few.
And William, do you mind describing your journey to permanency for us?
Right now, I have monthly meetings with Kathy from Adoption Council of Canada. My profile is up there to hopefully find a forever family. And for me, finding a forever family means being able to go home on weekends and special holidays and feeling included and belonged.
That's so inspirational. Can you talk more, if you don't mind, about the CWCY?
Yes. So I have done a training program that, as you guys saw, Rita jumped in there. She was one of the people who ran that along with Kathy. And that was more like a youth speak out advocacy type thing. And that was really helpful. I think I was able to get a certificate through that program.
Like you mentioned before, William, of how your profile is currently posted on the website for Canada's Waiting Children and Youth, can you describe more on your journey to putting your profile up and what that website does?
So that journey, it's been an interesting one. I actually was looking on like just regular like Google and wanting like seeing everyone like be able to have their own families made me want to also look like for my own family. And so I found this agency called Adoption Council of Canada, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna reach out. And so I spoke with Kathy. I told her a little bit about my background and my story, and how I grew up in foster care and went from there into a group home. And when you go through the system, you lose your sense of belonging and you don't know where you belong. And so having your own forever family would be your own sense of belonging. And so I'm like, I would like to have a chance to find my forever family. And so we worked together, me and Kathy. And what else? She sent me some questions. One that has my actual name, and then one for people who families, potential families to look at. And if they are more interested, then they would reach out to Kathy and potentially set up a right now a virtual meeting between me and that family.
And that's like awesome. I honestly never even knew until today, talking to you, that youth in care who are aging out can actually still have a chance to be adopted. And I think that's so powerful.
It
So
really
that's
is. It
so
really is.
exciting for you. You can like
Yes.
continue on your road to permanency.
Yes. And so with that, Kathy has let me know that she has reached out to, I think, about several GTA churches in order for them to put it out in their weekly newsletter. And so we're hoping that eventually a family will come and be interested.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, William, you were just mentioning to me how you were in foster care and how you were in a group and you're in a group home. Can you describe your journey to us?
Like my journey in foster care
And
and group
in a
home.
group home. Yeah. What your experience has been like and how it led you to where you are right now?
Yeah, so I grew up in foster care. I went into the system at 2.5, and from there, as I grew, things became a little bit more complicated with living in that family home because I was turning into teenager years and wanted my own space and freedom, just like any teenager wants. And it got to a point where we were like, okay, it's time for me to move out and become independent. And so what happened at that point is We look for not just any group home, like a specific group homes that would set me up for success in learning how to be more independent. And so we found a group home called Cedar Heights Residential Living, which is also in Richmond Hill and in North York. And the home in Richmond Hill, I moved into back in August 2013. And that I stayed there for about 3 years. And then once I knew how to maneuver around the city and the bus and transit, I moved on to the more semi-independent apartment program through Cedar Heights called Palmer Apartment. And that is where I would be more, less staffing, but more independent. And so I started going grocery shopping by myself. I started going different places like doctor's appointments and all that. And then eventually, because it's not a forever agency, you have to leave at some point. Yeah. And so my worker at the time told me, okay, let's look for something else. And she asked me, where would you like to live? Where would you like to end up? And I said, I would like to be back in Richmond Hill. I like Richmond Hill. I'm used to it. I know it. I was lucky to get an agency where they believe in faith. And so it was called Christian Horizons. And so I moved here in August of 2016. And so that year, later that year in December, I was baptized in that that same year. So that was a big step for me in my faith. And then there has been, it's not always been like since I've been baptized, like all happy. It's been more like ups and downs and very low valleys. And so it's not always going to be sugar plums. But there will be times of trials, so.
I mean, the road to permanency isn't, like we always say, isn't a straight path. You know, there's grooves along the way. There's gonna be
Oh, yeah.
bumps, and I think it's really cool how your spirituality to you is almost, and your faith is almost like a way in which you found your permanency. You have something to hold on
Even the
to.
way like I started looking at church, like I didn't grow up in a Christian family home where we would go to church at all. Like I grew up in just a regular family home, celebrated the holidays, but I didn't really know what they were really about. And then as I got older, I was wondering, okay, what is this big building here doing? What is the purpose of it? And
Yeah.
so I
That's almost the
kept
question we
asking.
ask ourselves as a youth in care, right? Like, what am I? What is my purpose here? So that's really cool
Yeah,
how
and
you're
so
like.
exactly. And so I kept asking my foster mom, and my foster mom Donna is very close to my heart, so nothing bad towards her at all. But I kept asking her, okay, like I want to go to church, I want to go to church. And eventually she's like, okay, I'll bring you to church. And so I went on a Sunday with her and I liked it. I liked the music. I liked the people. They were open. They were kind. They were loving. And then I'm like, okay, like how do I go back more often? And she's like, don't expect this every Sunday. And I'm like, okay, so how am I going to do this? And so eventually, if you fast forward to where I'm at now, I met this great pastor who is a big supporter of mine. Her name is Kate, and her husband's name is Dave, and they've been a very big support in my life. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have them.
That's awesome.
About a year, March 1st, 2019, I lost my birth father,
I'm
and that's
sorry.
still sometimes hard to talk about, but Kate and Dave came to my birth father's funeral, and that meant so much to me, to have them there. And so, church that we're all from is called the Well, a Community Church. Very inclusive, like not inclusive, but very open. And our motto is deep faith, wide embrace. They're very open, loving, and they just want to get to know you and what your story is and what your journey is. So check them out, people.
Free promotion. But yeah, I think that's an important message to lift up to all the youth out there, that there are many things you can get involved in that can help give you a sense of permanency, maybe a spiritual organization, maybe an organization like you for advocacy. There's like this platform we're on right now, maybe there's a club you can join, like anywhere you can go. You can make friends and you can meet the people who are meant to be in your life. So that's really cool.
Exactly. And even living in a group home, like know who your supports are. Like I have a program manager, Holly. She's also been a huge support in my life for the last 2 years. And know who you are connected to in your support team, because for me, that's my pastor, that's Holly, my church, and my foster mom is also still a good part of my life. Even I can think 22, 23 years after, I still am in contact with my foster mom, and that doesn't happen often. That's what I've been told. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's really cool that you still have that connection, though. Is there any advice you might want to offer to youth who are interested in doing the same type of program you are now, like for Canada's Waiting Child and Youth?
Advice. I would say, one, don't hesitate to advocate and figure out the connections that you have. And also, you can always reach out to look up Adoption Council of Canada and try and get in touch with either Kathy or even Rita. That's how I got connected with it. And I also got connected through 360 Kids, which I spoke about earlier. So many different ways to get connected in your
Do you
community,
want to describe
whether
360 Kids for the listeners who might not
Pardon?
know about it? Do you want to tell us more about 360 Kids? It's up to you.
Yeah, so 360 Kids is a agency organization that provides counseling. They provide schooling. They have their own school program with a York Region School Board teacher. They also provide meals, food pantry. They have a wardrobe. They have a lot of services. They even have apartment programs within their organization. They have men's and women's group. They have a lot of things. They also have paid work employment programs there. So one's Base for Success, which is what I was a part of. They have Every Bite Matters, which is a culinary program, which is paid. They also have the Youth Job Connection program.
That's awesome. All these resources youth and care need right now. So thank you for sharing that.
You're very welcome.
Since you are so passionate about advocacy, is there any specific tips you want to give to youth and care about advocating for themselves and speaking up for themselves and getting involved in programs like these?
Yes, so For advocacy, whatever region you're in, look it up. Like try and Google it, and if you can't, try and get your parents' help or whoever you have a connection to, maybe your church. Try and get your voice heard. Like, don't stay silent, especially during COVID. COVID is where we need to push until no more pushing can be done. That's basically because advocacy cannot die, especially now. And I've seen it a little bit during COVID, very recently, since the pandemic has started. The group that I'm in, a lot of people have come to me and said, "William, like, do you know that they're not letting us do anything? Like, how are we supposed to advocate?" And some people are, but it is dying. It's dying because no in-person connection, and that's what people need the most. And so if you follow these things, if you follow the what's going on in group homes and long-term care homes, so group homes and congregate care settings are right behind long-term care homes. So we group home and congregate care settings are right behind them. We will be starting to get vaccinated between the beginning of February to the end of June. That's all the information I have right now. Want to connect with me for advocacy? The email is leaders@ourvoicemattersyork.com.
Awesome. And yeah, I definitely think with this pandemic, it's so easy to just put things off. It's easy to kind of use it as an excuse just not to stay silent and be comfortable where you're at. But like you said, it's all about pushing the boundaries. And I've heard this before, closed mouths don't get fed, and you need to speak up for yourself. No one's gonna know how to serve you, how to best give you
Support
the
you, yeah.
resources you need. Yeah, exactly. Unless you tell them what you need. And it's so important. You're right. In this time period, we're all struggling. We're all lacking specific resources, specifically youth in care. And it's very important that we make our voices heard and we're not afraid, even though it can be hard.
Yeah, and just a side note, like for me during this time, my biggest some of my biggest encouragers are my former program manager, Holly Newman. She's very, very, she's like me. She thinks quickly, and she thinks she's quick to act, and she has a very upbeat, happy personality. And my other one would I would say is my pastor and her husband, Kate and Dave. Like, they're amazing, and they're expecting their own first son in mid-February. So I'm excited to get to know him.
That's exciting,
Yeah. Always have to know who your encouragers are.
yeah. I was gonna ask maybe if, because I do know like group homes kind of have like a specific, like it can be a divided experience. It could be like very hard. It could be pretty good. So I just was wondering if there's anything you wanted to raise about the group home experience and some barriers you've experienced there.
Yeah, so I would say that during the pandemic, for me personally in this group home, there has been a lot of barriers. There's been the most of the barriers have been lost, losing a lot of the stuff I used to have. Like my group home used to be go out, take the bus, be independent, do what you need to do, follow your goals. But now I've lost a lot of that, and so that's been a big loss. I would say also a loss in a pandemic is not being able to have hugs from people you know and love, not being able to congregate with your family and friends at holiday times, having a death during a pandemic, recently, it'll be a year in May that we here at this group home, we lost a staff that's been a part of this home for like 20 plus years. And so
Sorry.
stuff like that, it's made barriers during COVID has made things harder on families and their loved ones here in the in long-term care and congregate care settings.
Have you
Barriers for
faced any?
advocacy,
Yeah.
I'd say it's been pretty good so far. We haven't really had any barriers as an advocacy at this point in time, but I'm
Have you
sure
had any
eventually we will.
successes?
As
Have you
successes,
had
we've
any successes you want to raise up maybe to the platform?
I would say our biggest success would be being able to have the actual like people from their parties come out on their own busy schedule to a group home who they've never even met. And so I would say that is a big success, is being able to have some government MPPs come out to your own home.
William, as a strong self-advocate, do you have a message you want to relay to the policymakers?
Yes, so I would say listen to your community members who are out there trying to advocate and listen to what they need to say, because what we have to deal with here at the at houses, whether it's in long-term care home, whether it's in a retirement home or congregate care group home or in a regular home where you guys may live, where you may live, it's important for government officials to hear what we need to say and take some of our suggestions and bring them back to the higher people like Doug Ford, Justin Trudeau, as much as we might disagree with them or some of us might not like what they're saying. We still have to be respectful to them.
Of course. I think it's a big deal that they're coming to where you are. You know, they're seeing youth and care in their environment. So that's a really big success
Exactly.
for you guys.
Yes, for sure.
Is there anything you want to lift up, maybe specifically on the struggles of having a disability and then also being in youth and care and the struggles of that?
One thing that I can say is don't take this to heart, but the system sucks because there's a hole in the system. There's a hole in the system. At certain times, I've gotten to this point in conversations and I'm like, man, that's a big hole in the system. But like sometimes I'm like, the holes in the system are at times where we're not even thinking about it. Like right now, I can't think of a hole in the system. But when you're deep in a conversation about the system, that's where you can think of it in the moment. Like for me, I would say one of the holes in the system is government officials, sometimes they don't listen.
Yeah.
I'd say that's one. Not knowing why your parents, your birth parents may have given you up, that could be a hole in the system for you. Why you have family tensions, that could be another hole in the system.
And it's a barrier to your
Breaking the
permanency,
cycle.
right?
Yeah, like my mother was in a foster home and then I was in a foster home, but part of that system is, and the hole is being able to break that chain of not having what, yes, I end up in a foster home, but not having my children end up in a foster home. You have to break that cycle in the system.
That's very true, you know. The cycle of abuse can just keep going and going if it's left untreated, and I
Yes.
really think that's a powerful message we do need to relay on this platform is with adequate supports and with adequate resources, we can actually maybe possibly facilitate an end to this cycle. Like, we don't come
Yes.
to this journey on our own, like we don't graduate high school, we don't, without support, we can't graduate high school, we can't move on to post-secondary, we can't do all the things that are going to be beneficial, we can't go through
Exactly.
counseling, we can't do all the things that are going to be beneficial for us not to continue the cycle. You
Yeah.
know, if we leave our PTSD untreated, if we leave
Like
mental illnesses
another part
untreated.
of the a hole in the system is ODSP. You can only make up to $200, and then they start deducting from your rent money because you're making too much, which
Oh.
gives you being stuck on part time, where some people want to work full time, but they're worried that they're going to lose their health benefits through that, or stuff like that is a big issue.
You're currently
Aside
advocating
from
on that,
this,
right?
yes. So, there is a group called the ODSP Coalition, and that is for people who want to join in order to have your voices heard about that hole in the system, and see change happen there. Because with 200 after $200, they start deducting where are you, like, how are you supposed to figure out how much percent you're supposed to give to your towards when rent or towards stuff like that. Like, it's very hard when you're not being supported the proper way.
Yes. As we're nearing the end of this amazing episode of discussion, do you have any specific advocacy platforms and supports that you want to make Youth in Care aware of?
Yes. So, I would say the advocacy supports would be the agency that you live with or your parents. So the help of those two. Once you get off figuring out what you want to do for advocacy, then having your church pastor or church pastor, family, friends, letting all of them know, hey, like I have this platform, this advocacy, or I've joined it. I would love your support and help.
You heard it here from William. You're your own best advocate at the end of the day. And I just want to thank all our listeners for joining us today on today's episode of Self-Advocacy. And please continue to support the Road to Permanency podcast.